Amen. You get a little bit older, and you know how it is. My brother Jerry talked about the other day about, you know, you look in the mirror and open your mouth, and you look just like and sound like your daddy. Amen. Hey, that's not a bad thing, right? But that's where we get much of our training, much of our learning. That's where those things come from. It's where you were raised. And if you had the right things instilled into you. Again, I say, if every one of us could go over to Proverbs chapter number 1 and look at those things that are there that talks about how that there is a wisdom that God wants you to have. Not the wisdom of this world, but the wisdom of God. If we get that in kids today, this world would be entirely different. Amen? This country would be entirely different. But here's Daniel. So he makes his declaration. First of all, I want you to notice that I said he's got all this stuff because Judaism had infused these things into him. His Judaistic background, his Judaistic raising, his mama and his daddy, those that were around him, they put some things of God in him. Amen? I want you to notice this. When you see what tries to transpire here, he just makes his declaration. He's made up his mind. First of all, notice this. They tried to change his name. You see, they tried to change his name. Do you see what your Bible tells you unto verse number 7? Unto the prince of the eunuchs, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave name. And he gave unto Daniel the name Belteshazzar. I want you to know. The name Daniel was given to him, and the name Daniel means God is my judge. Amen? That's what that name means. Do you know what Belteshazzar means? Belteshazzar means Baal's favorite, or favored of Baal. And that's what they tried to change. Can I tell you? Daniel said, I ain't having no part of that. You read your Bible and you'll see where it refers to Daniel, it refers to Daniel. There may be a few instances where you'll see they tried to use that name and maybe someone else said that. But I want to tell you, they couldn't change his name. Don't let them change your name. Don't let them get in there and say, yeah, you're not a godly person. You're not of a godly heritage. You're not one of those kind of old-fashioned evangelical hellfire preaching. I mean, sin believing and heaven toasting kind of. Hey, that's, oh, yes, I am, amen. Don't you dare change my name. I'm going to stay. As a matter of fact, I'm going to stay with Baptist, amen. I'm not going to get rid of it. I'm not going to change it into social club, community center. Brother, we're going to stay Baptistic. Amen. Amen. I'm just telling you, don't let them change your name. Do not let this world change your name. Now, they wanted to change his name, but not only that. Do you notice that they tried to change his nourishment? I mean, they said, you've got to eat what the king says. The king gave them a portion of meat and a portion of wine to drink every day. And you know what Daniel said? Daniel, now, you know, this thing probably for a lot of it was Daniel's raisin that he had. And he said, we don't eat stuff like this. Amen? And it's probably because, I would say, the religious aspect, Daniel had enough training and enough fear of God in him that he knew most of the time when these folks ate meat that came from the king's table, it was meat that had been offered to an idol. It was meat that had been, you know, in some way involved in their religious ceremony. And Daniel said, guess what? We don't play that game, amen? We don't go there. We don't do that. You're not. And they were drinking that wine. They said, well, we'll do this. We'll get them used. I want to tell you, don't get used to the taste of liquor in your mouth, amen? Hey, don't get used to this mess. Don't get used to the stuff this world tries to feed you. This world will try to feed you not just that kind of nourishment. It'll try to feed you the nourishment that you get on television, out here in the entertainment, out here in the sports complex. It'll try to feed you that stuff, fill you up on it, and make you think, well, this is all there is. Don't buy it, don't eat it, and don't swallow that mess. Amen? I mean, here's Daniel. He said, nope, ain't going to happen. He said he made up his mind. He purposed in his heart. He makes his declaration that he would not defile himself. You see what it says there? He says that it would defile him if he ate these things, if he drank this drink. He said, I don't want to defile myself. Now, I want to tell you, a lot of us in this room could probably hang our heads in shame because we did defile ourselves on some of this mess of the world. But I'm glad God will forgive you of that. Amen. God will save you out of that. God will change you out of that. But here's Daniel. He just made up his mind. Amen. He just made up his mind. Can I tell you, praise God, for those that never gone through some of that kind of stuff? I don't tell you, you never had the taste of liquor on your breath. You never had the drugs in your life. You never had the hell of this world down in your soul. Thank God for you. Don't you feel like you've missed out? Don't you think, oh, preacher, I can't be a good Christian? Yes, you can. You don't have to have that mess to have to overcome it. God will save you just like you are. Amen. He can save you. There's about enough folks gone through all that mess. And I told y'all a story one time about preacher Donnie Burns was preaching. He was a missionary, and he'd been involved in drugs and alcohol, and, you know, his life was wrecked and all that. And God saved him out of that. And he would go to different churches. He'd been here to this church, and he'd preach and testify and tell that story. And he said he went to a church one night, and there was a youth pastor there. And he said he looked down and he noticed this man just crying his eyes out. And he said after church, the youth pastor said, Brother Burns, will you meet with me and the pastor in the pastor's office? And they went into the office and he said, what can I do for you? And the young man said, brother, he said, I don't have any kind of testimony like you do. He said, I lead these young people. He said, and I was raised in a Christian home. I got saved at a very early age, and I've never been involved with drugs. I've never been involved with alcohol. I hadn't run around with wild women. I ain't wasted my, I hadn't done, he said, I just feel like I don't have the kind of testimony you do. And Brother Donnie said, he looked at him and said, son, you need to just praise God. He said, I wish I didn't have that kind of testimony. I wish mine was more like yours. He said, now I'm glad God saved me out of that. He said, but I want you to know something. There's some scars in this old body. There's some things that happened because of that. And I'm paying some prices. He said, but you don't have to go through what I did to be an influence, to be a witness, or to be a Christian in front of other people. Amen? I'm just telling you, friend, if you got a kid and they're sheltered. Well, bless God, let them be sheltered. Amen? I mean, keep them from some of this stuff in this world, because I'm telling you, it can get folks, and it does every day, and it drags them, and the devil will love nothing better than drag your kids down to the pit of hell. Amen? But old Daniel said, I've made up my mind. I'm not going to defile myself with this stuff. Amen? Praise God for kids that do that. I'm just telling you, we need more of them today. Just stand up and say, I'm not getting involved in that. I mean, he made a declaration. They tried to change his name. They tried to change his nourishment. But I'm going to tell you that they could not change his nature. Amen? Aren't you glad of that? I'm telling you, Daniel was already that young man with that solid upbringing. And man, I'm telling you, don't you get all upset because they come at you. They're going to come. You just stand up and carry on and say, I'm a marching on for the Lord anyway. Amen. Because I'm telling you, the devil's a liar. He's always been a liar. He will always be a liar. And he's going to try to deceive and tear down anything that you and I try to do for God. Amen. And Daniel said, well, I want y'all to know something. I'm making my declaration. I'm sticking my pole in the ground. I ain't moving. I'm staying right. I'm not going with what y'all got. Amen. So notice that. Daniel makes his declaration. But second of all, Daniel shows his determination. He shows the determination. He shows us that he will not get involved with the idolatry, with the indulgences such as the alcohol, or with the indoctrination that they tried to put into his life. I mean, they're going to put him somewhere, and they're going to try to teach him something. You know, I've heard people here lately, there's big debates about, you know, homeschooling and Christian schools and the public school. Listen, I went to a public school, and probably most of you in this room probably did, and if you didn't, that's fine. You got to go somewhere else and do some other thing. Praise God for that. But I'm just telling you, hey, I know, and you know what it's like in the public domain. Somebody was talking about that here with us here the other day. And I said, man, where we went to school, we saw them fighting. We saw them pull out knives. I heard some language that I didn't need to hear, but I got involved with. Amen. Somebody, amen right there. I mean, I saw some things that I probably should. I heard words and things go on and talk and all that. And, man, I'm just telling you, that's where we were. And that's at Rossville High School, right? Amen. I told y'all the Bible said that. It said, can any good thing come out of Rossville? Amen. I tell folks that all the time, and I say, look at us, we're here. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, maybe it didn't say Rossville. Maybe it said Nazareth. But anyway, it's about the same thing, right? Some of the places some of us have been and what God has done for us. But it's because you can be in those places, but you can still have a determination that's shown. Here's Daniel. He says, I'm not getting involved with all that. I'm not going to be part of it. He chose to have convictions over the corruption that the king of Babylon tried to put on him. He said, I'm going to have some standards here, King. I've got some things I'm going to live by. I've got some things that I want to see in my life. Thank God for me and you. You start saying standards and people get all bent out of shape. Ah, preacher, you're going to try to tell us this and this and this and this. Listen, if it's in this book, let's do it. Amen? If it's Bible, if it's written in the Scriptures, you and I ought to have some biblical convictions. Amen? Biblical convictions. And man, when you get some biblical convictions, thank God, it'll help you out. Amen? I mean, it'll help you to stand. It'll help you to be there and not move when you get into those places where there are those corruptions coming your way. Here's Daniel. He's in the middle of an ungodly nation. The Babylonians don't serve God. They serve all of their worshiping idols and all that, man. They're doing that. And Daniel says, hey, y'all, I've still got a God in heaven. Amen. You're going to see later on, and if you go on to read that, you'll see where Daniel goes in, and the king's looking for his astrologer, soothsayer, his wise men, and he's saying, y'all tell me what dream I dreamed and the interpretation of it. And his wise men come to him and say, well, you tell us the dream, we'll tell you what. He said, oh, no, it ain't going to work like that. He said, it's taken from me. I don't remember, but I know I need to know it, so y'all tell me what it was and what it means. And they're like, well, they can't nobody do that. But you know what my Bible tells me? Daniel and those three other young men with him got alone, and he said, let's pray. We need help. Hey, the king had given command to kill all of them if they couldn't come up with the answer. The king was going to send out his soldiers, and they were going to cut off everybody's head. And he said, I'll make your houses as a dunghill. Amen? Daniel began, the Bible said he sought the God of heaven. And God gives him the dream and the interpretation of it. And it's that dream where the king saw that big statue made out of the gold, silver, and the brass, and all that, and the iron, all that stuff. And this rock comes rolling and knocks it all down. And the king, when he tells him, he remembers it. And he said, Daniel, You're a wise man. He said, oh, no, king. He said, no. He said, let me correct you there. He said, I've got a God that showed me all of this. I got a God in heaven. And I want to tell you, it's my God that's able to. It's not me. It's not of me. It's not in me. It's Him. Amen. And I want to praise Him. Thank God. Buddy, let me tell you something. Me and you need to have that kind of conviction in our heart rather than the corruption that this world tried to put into it. He chose the commandments of God rather than the convenience of giving in. You know what most of us do? If we're not careful, we just acquiesce. We just give in. We say, okay, what? You know, give up. Hey, I'm telling you, that's where the church is today. I'm telling you, we have given up. We have said, well, let's give a little bit. Let's compromise. I want to tell you, there is no compromising with the God of heaven. Amen. If He says yea, then it's yea. If He says nay, then it's nay. You better stay with Him. Amen. And I'm telling you, here he is. Here's Daniel. He chose the commandments of God. He said, God, I want to listen to the holy commandments of God. Can I tell you, you ought to listen to them, folks. You ought to hear them. You ought to let this word minister to your heart. That's why you need to come to Sunday school. That's why you need to be at church. That's why you need to have Bible study time. That's why you need to pray, get in your closet, ask God, seek some wisdom. Praise God. He's got it. Amen. I'm telling you, this world will corrupt you. This world will tear you up. But hey, here's Daniel. He chose the commandments of God. As I said, he'd had this stuff poured into him. He'd heard that. Moses said, Daniel, let me tell you what Moses said, Daniel. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Oh, Daniel said, you know what? I ain't going to have what they got. There is no other God than the one I've got. Amen? I mean, he could go through that. He said, you know, I'm to honor my father and my mother, and he understood how he ought to love folks and not lie and steal and cheat and blah, 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 blah. And they might have been trying to teach that kind of mess there. Amen? You say, oh, preacher, I don't do that. Religious go, sure. Grab a hold of you a Quran sometime and begin to read that. Boy, that'll turn you inside out. When you can read a Quran and the Quran said, fellas, it's okay if you want to have about four or five wives. Right? And if a wife is not doing what you want, it's okay to beat her. It's okay for you to hit her. It's okay for you to physically assault her. It's okay for you to sexually assault her. It's okay for you to have these little concubines on the side. And listen, well, now who are you going to listen to? I'm listening to the commandments of God.
Right.
Amen? They said, God said, one man, one woman. And God said, that's the way it works. And the world said, oh, well, y'all got it all. Hey, the world can say what they want to, but God still always got it right. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. I'll take the commandments of God over the convenience that given into this silly world anytime. Amen? He chose the commandments of God rather than the convenience of the world. He chose the connection to his heritage over the capitulation of his present circumstance. He said, look, I got a godly heritage. You ought to thank God for your godly heritage. I thank God there's some old folks back in the days before me that stand up and sing Amazing Grace. Amen. I'm glad there's some old preacher, leather lung, get up and he'd preach hell hot and sin black and heaven sweet and Jesus is the only way to get. I'm thankful for that kind of heritage. You ought to be praising God and running circles yourself. Amen. I mean, you ought to be glad for the heritage that you have. Oh, Daniel said, I've done learned too much. I'm not going there. I'm staying with what I know that works. Amen. Hey, I'm not giving up and I'm not giving in, Daniel said. Daniel says, I'm connected to a heritage. Amen. The psalmist says this, I have a godly heritage. I'm telling you, everybody in this room today cannot say that. You can't say that your heritage may have, but you know what? You can start one today. Your kids can have a godly heritage. Your grandkids can have a godly heritage. Your family, your core family, hey, they can have a godly heritage. And men, let me tell you, it starts with you. Make up your mind, put your foot down, get it on the rock and say, hey, thank God we're in this and we're not moving. Amen. We're not moving. So Daniel, he makes his declaration. He shows his determination. And one last thing real quick. Let's look at this. Daniel understands how to win by his deliberation. Daniel understands how this thing works in deliberation. If you look here in verses 11 through 21, that we didn't read it, but as it goes on, Daniel says, I'm not going to give in. I'm not going to defile myself, right? And then it said, I read verse 9 where it said, now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of eunuchs. Don't misunderstand that. That's not anything vulgar or vile or filth. It just means that this man saw him and he just really, God let him, their hearts knit together in a good kind of love. They just, you know, he just had admiration, he had love, he had a respect for Daniel. And then Daniel begins to talk to him and said, he doesn't go in demanding anything. He doesn't go in like, well, I'm not going to. No, Daniel understands the power of deliberation. And he goes into this man and he says, it says that he tells in verse 10, the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear the Lord the king who hath appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse lacking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall you make me endanger my head to the king. He said, look, I can't do this. It'll cost me my life.
Right.
Daniel said, well, what have I got to do? And he said, well, you talk to the fellow that's right over you. Then said Daniel to Melzar, the prince, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat, and as thou seest, deal thou with thy servants. And he consented to them in this matter, and proved them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh. than all the children which should eat the portion of the king's meat. They ate beans and taters and did better than the state crowd. Amen. That's what that's saying. I mean, they did that for 10 days. And they're like me, they gained weight. Woo, hallelujah. Ain't you glad of that? Listen, the Bible says here that Daniel said, look, just prove it. Let's just give us a test. Give us a trial. I mean, what I'm saying is Daniel was using wisdom so he would not be an irritation to those over him, but rather so that it would be illumination to those that were over him. Amen? You say, well, preacher, how does that work? Well, I mean, your Bible talks about that all throughout it, right? I mean, listen, your wisdom will come from having faith in God and listening to what he has to say. Amen? That's where your wisdom's going to come from. Amen? Hey, you know what the Bible tells us? The Bible tells us over in the book of James in chapter number 1, verse number 5, James says this. He says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth liberally and upbraideth not. God will give you wisdom. I don't care what's going on. I don't care what trial, what situation, what problem is there before you. God can give you some wisdom while you're there. You don't have to blow a fuse. You don't have to be a tyrant. You don't have to rant and rave and stomp and blow. Brother, you can come to God and God will give you some wisdom. Now, Daniel's presented with a problem. Here I am. Here's my declaration. I'm not going to do that. Here's my decision. I'm not going to do this. He said, but how do I get there, God? And God said, let me show you. And God, first of all, gave him that communication between him and that superior that was over him. And then God let him deal in just a real civil way about trying to take care of this situation. I mean, wisdom, like I say, you get some wisdom and God gives it to you when you ask him. If you put your faith in God, listen to him. And listen, wisdom will help you to gain favor of those in this world that you have to deal with. Did you know that? God will give you the wisdom and the wisdom will help you to deal with those in this world. You remember what Jesus told his disciples? Over in the book of Matthew in chapter number 10, I believe it is. I got it written down here, Matthew 10 and 16. Jesus says this. He says, be ye wise as serpents and harmless as doves. God, hey, listen, it's not a shame and it's not ungodly and it's not of the devil to be wise. I know the devil is subtle and he's slick and he's deceitful. But God wants you to have some godly wisdom in your life. And here's Daniel, a young man, I'm telling you, a teenager. And yet he shows an extreme amount of godly wisdom in the way he deliberates over this problem. Now, this is not the only problem he's going to have wise deliberations in, but this is the first one. He's got some wisdom that is well beyond his years, right? So he is getting some wisdom through his faith in God. He's just trusting God. He said, God, I don't know what to do. I don't know how I'm going to get through this. But you know what you got to do? You got to trust God. Amen? You got to be like Paul was out on that boat in Acts 27 when the winds are blowing and everybody said, we're going to die and what are we going to do? And Paul slips away and prays and he comes back and said, boys, get something to eat. It's going to be all right. He said, this night, an angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, he stood by me and he said that no harm would come to anybody on the ship. He said, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer for I believe God. Get yourself into that place where that wisdom that you have comes from above. Amen? Yeah. Your wisdom needs to come from somewhere else other than the people of this world. Amen? And the junk that this world will try to feed you and this stuff they'll try to get you into. Hey, he got his wisdom from God. His wisdom helped him to gain the favor of those things and people in this world that he's going to have to come up against and deal with. And wisdom will help you flourish as you navigate through this world and its obstacles. Isn't it amazing how Daniel here starts out as a teenager and then he gains that favor. And before, isn't it amazing? God works it in his life where he winds up being the second in command to the king of Babylon. He is a vice president, whatever you want to call him. He's a man right underneath that. God put him there. Right. You have no idea what God can do in your life when you'll make up your mind, I'm going to stand for God.
Amen.
You know, most time we think, oh, well, and people tell you, well, religion and business just don't. I mean, I can have my religion on the weekend, but when it comes Monday through Friday or whatever, I gotta get back in here and act like the business. No, you don't. Can I tell you one of the most amazing stories that I've ever heard in my life, I guess, is a man by the name of Truett Cathy. Y'all know who Truett Cathy is? He's the guy that started Chick-fil-A. And you know what he started out doing? We're going to be open Monday through Saturday, but every Sunday we're closing her down. And people in corporate America went crazy. You can't have a fast food restaurant and be closed on Sunday. That's where you get the most of your sales. Your biggest day, most customers. Oh, you're going to go out of business. Oh, really? Who do you think has been one of the major chain foods in the entire United States for years and years and years? Been Chick-fil-A. And you know what? They're still closed on Sunday. He said, I believe if we honor God, He'll honor us. Did you know that's still a biblical principle today? If you honor Him, He will honor you. And people don't understand it. You know, we got people that say, oh, preacher, I'm just barely making it. Hey, you know, join the club. Sign up with the rest of us, right? Well, but I can't give my tithe to the church. Ooh, you know what I found out? I can't afford not to give it to the Lord and His work. I've just found it out. And you know, you sit down with a pencil and paper and you start figuring it out with, you know, if I have this and I subtract this and I do that. And I'll tell you, sometimes on paper, it won't work. But you know what God said? He said, try me. Prove me. See if I can't pour you out a blessing. And you know what? He's done it for me time and time and time again. Amen? I mean, hey, I've tried to give it away sometimes. You know what? God said, here, let me give you some more and see if you can give that away. And he keeps throwing it back. You keep going, he says, passing on through. Amen? I'm just telling you, that's the way that God works. And I'm not telling you I never had any low times and hard times. But I'm going to tell you, He's there in those times. He's there in these days. And He'll be there in your days. You can depend on Him. You know what I'm telling you? Don't move. Don't move. Trust in the Lord. He'll see you through. Daniel said, you know, all I got. I mean, I don't have a country. I don't have a king anymore. I don't have my family with me. What am I? I got God, and I'm going to trust in Him. You know what Joseph had when Joseph got thrown in the pit? He didn't have anything. His daddy thought he was dead. His family hated him. And they'd sold him to the slave traders. And God had him on a line to make him the second in command in all of Egypt one day. Amen? You know what he did? He just made his mind up and said, I ain't moving. I'm going to trust God. Amen? Amen? Hey, isn't that what the Bible tells us Job did? In all of this, Job sinned not with his lips, nor did he charge God foolishly. I'm telling you, friend, just make your mind up and don't move. Brother Ronnie, come on, let's get ready to sing something this morning. Don't move. I mean, here's Daniel. He had every opportunity, every reason, and every possible thought of maybe moving. But he didn't. He said, no, sir, I have purposed in my heart. I'm not going to defile myself. I'm not giving in to this thing. Can I tell you something, folks? Just trust God. Hang on to Him. Hold to His hand. I'm so glad He'll hold to mine. Amen? We sing that song sometimes out of that blue book, and the old little blue book says, He'll hold to my hand. Thank God, aren't you glad He'll hold you? He'll put you right there in the palm of His hand, and He knows who you are. He knows where you are. He knows what you got and what you ain't got. He knows everything about every one of us. And He says, you know what? You're mine, and I'm going to take care of you. Amen? I'm going to take care of you. Let's stand, if you will. What are we going to sing, Brother Ron?